Praise God. It's so wonderful to be in the house of God. So wonderful to be here with you all. And it's just my honor and my privilege. And Pastor Jonathan Down, Sister Melanie, and all the leadership here, thank you so much for having us here this morning. And Bishop First Lady Downs, God bless you. First Lady, that must be my American influence in the last few months. But it's so good to be. We love your whole family. We love you guys. And yes, Pastor Jonathan mentioned Brother Favoloro. And he is one of my heroes growing up. If you never knew, and I'm sure you're used to it now, and I'll let you sit down in a couple of seconds, but you're probably used to it here as well, but you never knew what was going to happen. And although there was certainly a traditional structure to the services, there was an order that was followed. When God swept in, that was the end of man-made plans. And that's the way we have church. Amen. And so God bless you. Thank you so much for making us welcome. And I will say thank you. And you may be seated. How about that? I do want to say thank you to the church here for all your missions giving. We've had a number of churches destroyed and a number rebuilt, largely with help from the church here. And so I want to say thank you very much. I just got some photos that I can share of the church in Banban, which was the latest project that got wiped out. And they are just rebuilding and having church inside the partially finished structure. So we just thank God. It's wonderful to belong to a body. Amen. And if Vanuatu, if anyone is listening, let me just give them a shout out, all right? Guys, we love you. And you've just got another state of emergency for another 30 days. So we'll see you after Christmas, more than likely. But it's great. We love you guys. You know that. Praise God. Well, we have about 35 minutes from now, right? Wheels up to wheels down, as they say. And so the Lord has laid something on my heart. I just want to share with you this morning. Thank you once again. And we're going to read from the epistle of Ephesians this morning. We've been in the United States since January of this year. Came back, did our 2 weeks quarantine, watching everyone 17 floors lower, drinking their coffee and going to the coffee shops while we were locked in our room. And had all the tests, we are clear, everything like that. And we certainly appreciate it. But this year has been an unusual year. You don't need me to tell you that. Your pastor has no doubt shared that. And I don't know what situation you personally are going through. The places that we have visited, the situations and the challenges have been very individual. Some people have faced relational, emotional challenges, people that are passing on, and their partner, spouse cannot even be there with them during that time. Situations as extreme as that. Others are financial situations, etc., etc. But I am glad that in this day and age, I know who Jesus is. There's one thing that doesn't change, and you know it this morning, and that is Jesus Christ. He never changes. And the Bible says, why don't we stand together? Do I get a reflection of the screen up there or no? But that's okay. Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read from verses 10 and 11 and then just jump down to verse 16. And this morning, the thought that was laid on my heart and has been for the last little while because of how important I think it is, but God has laid more a theme on my heart that I have molded into the messages over the last couple of weeks or months, and that is this thought: do not or don't drop the shield. We know what was yesterday, we don't know what tomorrow is, but one thing we do know is we cannot drop the shield of faith. And my encouragement this morning is, regardless of whatever is coming tomorrow, we are all looking for a better tomorrow. We're looking for things to ease up a little bit. We're looking for answers to prayers and answers to questions. But regardless of what comes tomorrow, as a church, we must not drop the shield. We cannot let the shield of faith go down, because that is the ultimate aim of the devil. His ultimate goal is to let that shield, get that shield down, so that his fiery darts can reach their target. Let's read from Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 and verse 11, and then drop down to verse 16. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And verse 16. No. Yes. "Above all." I need my glasses. "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Let's just lift our voices. Why don't we just pray together for a moment this morning? Jesus, we stand in honor of you, O God, and your word, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity to fellowship together, O God, and to worship you and to praise you and to hear your word, O Lord. Have your way in the next few moments, Lord. Speak as you would speak, O God. Take my thought process, take my vocal cords, O God, and let us, Lord, hear your word this morning, O Lord. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. 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 You may be seated. God bless you. As we have, as many of you have also traveled, I see a wide reflection here of cultures and nationalities. All of us know that are exposed to other parts of the world, that man, it is built into mankind to look for something greater than himself. Looking, we use the word transcendent. I use it a little bit cautiously because of some of the connotations of it. But transcendent just means something above what I am, something higher than what I am. And throughout the world, we have testimony of that. You go back 1,500 years before Christ and Hinduism was born, one of the major world religions of today, believing in millions of gods and looking for a way to be released from the cycle of reincarnation and into almost into nothing, basically. You look at 500 years before Christ even. This is not religion. This is something that we do call it religion, but it's in the heart of man. It came out by itself. 500 years before Christ, Gautama looked out, saw suffering and sorrow, and began to seek for answers. And now we know him as the Enlightened One or the Buddha, and we see the religion of Buddhism. Millions, Hindus, 1.2 billion people. And then after Christ, then of course there was Christ. I'm going to come back to that one. But after Christ, we see another man looking out, looking for answers, seeing the polytheism of the day and the worship and the bigotry of the religions in existence at that time, and seeking for answers. And so we know another major religion that came into existence about then. It's built into us to look for something that is higher than we are, something that is greater. And we call this our worldview. Our worldview, how we see things, is an integral part of what we look for in our culture, the way that we live today. Can I just give you a couple of definitions before I go on? Because this is vital to understanding what the shield of faith is all about. Okay. Our worldview, if we could have the next slide, repeated methods, things that we have done through history, effective society, these are the things that help create our culture and our worldview. We've done it this way for 100 years, or some cultures, 1,000+ years. And so business practices that work and living together as a culture, we have decided how we're going to formulate those things. How do we get on in life? How do we live together? How do we communicate? A slightly more complex definition of culture is a complex integrated coping mechanism belonging to and operated by a society. Concepts and behavior that are patterned and learnt. Our children grow up maybe not knowing why they do many things, but they do them. And the world we live in today, let me just put this in a little context right now. The world we live in today is challenging anything that is and has to do with Christian culture. The world is challenging our worldview. It's challenging right and wrong. All over the globe, it is challenging. There is no such thing as an absolute truth, especially if we are, as we are in Australia, being enveloped and trying to be taken over by what we call a relativistic secular humanism. There is no absolute truth, but you and I, brothers and sisters, we have certain things that the Word of God teaches us that we consider non-negotiables. There's things in the Bible that we do not discuss or question the absolute truth. We don't think of it as subjective truth. We don't think of it as relative truth. We don't think of it as something that is changed by the environment. It is things that God has said. And these things are being challenged from all through our society. And so we have an underlying perspective. We have resulting products, which if you go into a primal religion situation, you will see maybe a totem pole or a stone or an altar. But in our culture, they become more, we see them as more sophisticated. They're not really, they're just in different forms. But we have products and we have beliefs. And so go to the next slide. So what we end up with is a shared history that must be embraced, protected, and defended by those in it. We defend who we are. We've shared it together. This is us. We are Australian. This is the way we do things. This is the way we think. But if we're not careful as our culture, that is a description of culture. If we're not careful, our culture will try to also dictate the Word of God. Not just in application, but in its reality. In the way we read it, in the way we understand it. A worldview, so one definition is culture. Another, and this is so important when it comes to the shield of faith, another is worldview. A worldview is the structured assumptions. Is everyone still okay? I don't want this to sound like some kind of school lesson, all right? Structured assumptions and values and allegiances that underlie how we understand things, okay? If I asked you, for example, just to give a quick example, if I asked you, why did Peter come off the Sea of Galilee when he'd caught all those fish and fall down and worship Jesus? We would come up with something, well, the power encounter, the magnitude of the miracle, etc., etc. A Hindu brother was asked that same thing before conversion, and his answer, as recorded by the person that was giving my lecture, he said the answer he gave was the man was so sorry he had killed so many fish. Perception, worldviews, how we understand the things that God has given us. Because we grow up in it, we don't recognize the differences until sometimes we are exposed to multicultures or to different situations. But the way we read the Bible, the way we see life, we are looking through these things are so important. If we could have the next slide. if it is there, because from the center of our worldview, there comes our beliefs, there comes our values, and there comes our behavior. But it all starts in the heart. It all starts with that worldview. And this is where the shield of faith becomes so important. Because it's not just faith to see God do amazing things. If we go to the next slide, you'll see some of the other things that come off onto the from our worldview, the way we see politics, the way we see technology, the way we see our economics. It's all, there's economics is a huge thing. We don't live in a caste society, but caste societies see things very differently than we see them, okay? We see things, maybe we see economic success as a sign of achievement in our world. Some places in the world, many places, it doesn't matter. Economic success is neither here nor there. These things are all affected by our world view. Can you say amen? Amen. Okay. So Paul said, or God said in Ephesians chapter 6, he said, above all, take the shield of faith. What is the shield of faith? In the olden days, the way that Paul would have seen it in their culture back then, which is not how we see it today, but when they looked at the shield of faith, it wasn't the teardrop shape there that I've got, but it was more a oblong shape. If we could have the next slide there. It was an oblong shape. And so when Paul talks about the shield of faith, this is what he was portraying to the hearers right there and then. And one of the things that we often don't think about is on the shield that Paul is referring to, and on the shield of faith is an emblem that identifies exactly who we belong to. When a soldier in this context that we're reading the Bible, when they took that shield, on that shield was either a picture, an emblem, or some kind of word maybe, or some kind of lettering, even the coloring, even the design, but kind of like a coat of arms that we would think of in our context was on the front of that shield. So when the soldier held up that shield, he would be showing who he belonged to and what he stood for and where his allegiances were. Brothers and sisters, as we walk this earth today, it's not just holding up some kind of religious belief. No, when we hold up the shield of faith, we are holding up a shield that says who we belong to. It's a shield that says what we stand for. It's a shield that says where our allegiances lie. And brothers and sisters, those allegiances need to lie with the absolute truths of the Word of God. We cannot allow popular opinion to make a decision for what we're going to paint on our shield. It has to be the Word of God, because all things made by man, they're going to fail. They're going to change. They're going to alter with time. But the Word of God will last forever. And when Paul used this and applied it, the words that he used, we understand basically theologically to be a person's response to the gospel news of Jesus Christ. What is the shield of faith? It's how we respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The shield of faith is not a particular doctrine. A shield of faith is not just my mental consent and belief in God. The shield of faith will incorporate doctrines and teachings of the Bible. They'll be written on it. But how is my life responding to the gospel message of Jesus Christ? When I get up each morning, is my life really showing that Jesus is Lord of Lords and Lord of my life? when I walk through the shopping center or go through the school, the things that I do. And I'm not going to say anything that's a pastor's job, but let me just say the music I listen to and the other ways that I demonstrate my allegiances in the world, they are my shield of faith. I don't have to sit down with you and give you a Bible study to show you where my allegiances are. You should be able to look at the places I go and the things I read and the things I watch and the things I say and the friends that I have, and you should be able to say, I can tell by that guy's shield that he's one of them, that he's a follower or she's a follower of Jesus Christ. It's not what I verbally just put out there and give some kind of a vocal confession. But my shield of faith is there every minute of every day, stating what I declare. Because, let me just take it a step further, because the Bible says the fiery darts of the wicked. And the fiery darts, we often see it as a fiery arrow. The word actually just means missile. It could be a rock painted in tar, set on fire. It could be anything. Okay, could have been javelins, very unlikely. But we often see it something like this. And those fiery darts are not designed to pierce your skin and to penetrate your heart and kill you. They wouldn't set it on fire. The fiery dart, which is very, the Bible is amazing in the way that it says things, but the fiery dart is sent to catch something on fire and to cause destruction and confusion amongst the enemy by the fire it spreads. They're not actually trying to shoot you as an individual, or they just let off all the arrows. But when they set them on fire, they're trying to light the buildings, they're trying to light the crops, they're trying to light anything, basically anything that is flammable, combustible, they're trying to light it and set it on fire. And so the devil, when he sets these fiery darts and he sets them into us, what he is really trying to attack is your worldview. That's what he's after. He's not trying to just be a one-shot wonder and kill you outright, cause you to do something crazy. We don't have, in a 35-minute flight, we don't have time to serve five courses, all right? But, and so we don't have time. But let me throw this out, because many of you, you know the Bible well. Why is it that the temples were lighted by the fire from heaven? Why is it on the day of Pentecost? Fire and God, you can't separate them. So when Paul uses this here, you have to see what is this talking about. And so those fiery darts, they come in. If we don't have the shield of faith, when we lower our shield or we drop our shield, those arrows will find our heart. And they're not there just to pierce or to cause damage that way. But if the enemy's darts or arrows or fiery missiles reach our heart, they set up a wall of fire that changes our worldview. In other words, are you still with me? I can see you are. You're probably ahead of me. In other words, our desires, our goals, our dreams, our worldview of what is successful is being surrounded by a ring of fire that has been set up by the enemy. And so as I think, what do I want in life? If my shield of faith has dropped and I think about what do I want, suddenly my goals aren't quite those that Jesus had. And they start to go this way and they start to go that way. And it just happens. Sometimes we don't even realize it happening, but our whole worldview, our values, our belief systems, and slowly then ultimately our behavior, it begins to change. Why? Not because suddenly one day I woke up and said, I don't believe the Bible's the word of God. No, it happens because somewhere along the line, that shield of faith that says who I belong to, that says what I believe and where my allegiances lie, somewhere along the line, I've let that drop just a little bit down. down somewhere and some arrow has managed to circumnavigate it maybe and come in and pierce my heart, and suddenly the things that were once important to me are not important quite so much anymore, and the things of the Word of God and the values of the Word of God, they begin to go down, and the desires of an ungodly worldview begin to rise up. Brothers and sisters, you know it. I know it. We're living in those times today. Our society is doing everything it possibly can to tear down values, to tear down absolutes, and you're told to be tolerant of everyone and everything. And we have terms like inclusivism and all these kind of things, which ultimately just lead to multiple gods and all that building up. But brothers and sisters, that's the world we live in. That's the world we live in. I'm not going to be specific in my examples, but I could be. Only because I'm a visitor and this is my first time to preach in Australia for this year. And I don't want to get any church into trouble, so I'm not going to be too specific. But you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. And that's why we're not at the end of this. We're maybe not at the beginning, but we're definitely not at the end of all of this. That's why we have to ask God, God, help me to hold up that shield of faith. Help me to stand strong for what your word believes and what your word teaches that I need to believe. Because our worldview, it affects our desires, it affects our dreams. Those fiery darts that are coming in there, they want to build up a wall around us that will affect it. That's why the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Again, a military term. Keep your heart with all diligence. I put a picture of the Edinburgh Castle on one of the slides, and you can see in the middle there, the keep. If you've ever played a computer game that's got military strategy involved, you'll know that keep, it's an old word, but we still use it today. Keep your heart. In other words, build a defense around about it. Build a wall around your heart. Build something that is going to protect it. How do we do that? By holding up that shield of faith. And let me tell you one other thing, brothers and sisters. The soldiers gained maximum potential out of their shields when they joined it with the shields of other soldiers. When they got together, that shape was designed deliberately. When they got together, they were able to build their own wall of defense. And if one shield started to wobble, the other ones were able to come up. I'm glad for my brothers and my sisters. Amen. Oh, they can't save me if I decide not to be. But you know what? They can encourage me while I'm trying my best. Amen. And if you go to the next slide there, you can see we need each other. It's already there. We need each other. These are just illustrations showing how some of the Roman military used to act. But you can see the shields that are there. And it's even an offensive weapon. There are accurate records, we believe them to be accurate, of the shields even being used as a road or a ramp to assault the enemy's walls and to make a way for the soldiers to get up onto their walls. It's not just you holding it in front of your body, but together. We don't need to have arguments with each other. In this day and age, as we enter whatever kind of climax we're entering, in this day and age, we don't need to have disagreements with my brother or my sister. And I'm not going to meddle, but let me tell you, I know as human beings, we all have our opinions and we all have our thoughts and we all think this is the way something should do and something should happen. Let me tell you, this fight is bigger than your individual opinion or desire. What we are fighting in our spiritual battle in these days is bigger than just what I want or what somebody else wants. No, I need to put my personalized opinions aside and say, brother, sister, I don't even maybe agree with everything that you're thinking about in the way it should happen. But let me tell you, we're fighting a common enemy. Let's bind together here. Let's join together here. Let's put away those petty differences and let's lock our shields so that we can march forward into the enemy's territory and defend our own territory. It's maximum advantage. We can even go into attack mode if we join our shields together. You'll never do it just one soldier running to attack somebody's not going to be very impressive. The enemy's not going to be too scared. But let me tell you, when we bind together and that wall begins to advance. Oh, brothers and sisters, the world is so full of false religion. The world is full. We look at our little corner and our little room, and we that's what we see, and we think, well, this is the way it is. Let me tell you, humanity as a whole is what Jesus died for. He didn't just die for our Western way of seeing things. He didn't just die for the Jews. God so loved the world. And what I'm touching on in worldview is not just what you and I are facing in a local environment, but it's global. It's people all over the world are looking for answers. They're looking for something that is going to satisfy. They're looking for a worldview that doesn't change. And many of them have found it, but they've found it just in the historical perspective of something that has been followed and believed and done for thousands of years. And they stick to this religious view. We, as a young country, have to be careful because we don't have thousands of years of history behind us. And people question, what is Australia? What is it? Most people are going to tell you where their birth country was or where their heritage was. And so the devil is trying to come in, and that's why we're falling for a trick that many people don't fall for, and that is simply a humanistic worldview. And humanism, if you study that, humanism basically says, I am God. In other words, you and I, we're going to get together. We're going to decide what's best. That's going to be good for everybody. And that's it. So we are gods making our own decisions. And so that's a very broad description of it. But that's where it's heads. That's why we end up with things that our parents would never have dreamed that we would be discussing. And things that seem so hard sometimes to get our mind around. But the shield of faith is where it's at. The shield of faith, hold it up there. Hold it up there. Don't drop the shield, brothers and sisters. We don't know where it's going tomorrow, but let me encourage you, don't drop the shield. Don't drop that time. Some of those things that we do, and whatever your pastor encourages you, but some of those things like just praying with our kids before they rush out the door to school, that's the shield of faith. Some of those things like saying grace before we eat our food, we might say, well, that's just an old fuddy-duddy tradition. Let me tell you, you're holding up the shield of faith. When I sit down in Hungry Jack's and I grab my wife's hand and I say, thank you, Jesus, for the food we're about to receive, we do it with thanksgiving. I'm not just thanking God. I'm wanting every spiritual force in that area to know that there's two Christians that are sitting there. I'm not just saying, oh, this is some religion. No, I'm wanting my shield of faith to be there. I want people to see it, because who knows how God's even going to use that. You have had people come up to you after saying grace and say, hey, I really appreciated seeing you do that. And you get others as well. But brothers and sisters, that shield of faith, things that we think might just be religious tradition, rethink them with your pastor and understand why you do it and go ahead and do it. Because the traditions that are passed down were bought by the blood of Christians that sacrificed for their belief, just as many of you have. But they knew what it was to pay, some of them, the ultimate price to believe in saying grace, to believe that God should be thanked for everything, to believe that I've got the right to hold up the shield of faith. The devil can't stop the church. I'm closing. The devil can't stop the church. And I'm not going to go into it. Like I said, we can't have a five-course meal, but I'm going to throw out my final thought right now. The devil cannot stop you. And if you want to know how the devil attacks the church, he attacks it through false doctrine and through false worldviews. That's the attack on the church. That's why Jesus, when he led his disciples, and I know you're with me, I'm not introducing too much. When Jesus led his disciples to the very gates of hell in Caesarea Philippi, that old cave that used to have that waterfall coming over it, that was known as the gates of hell, where people that were looking for the answers would go and sacrifice and do prostitution, all sorts of horrible things to the goat god, wanting, believing that that waterfall, that cave, was the doorway to the underworld. That's what they believed. That's why they used that term, the gates of hell, because out of that would emanate every false doctrine, every false belief, every false teaching. And Jesus, at that momentous occasion, took his disciples to a place that any good Jew would never go, into Caesarea Philippi and right to the gates of hell. And as he stood there, and I can't paint the whole picture, but as he stood there, and the disciples were no doubt wondering, Jesus, what are you doing bringing us to such a place as this? With all those mini idols around them and all the holes in the rocks, you can still see them today. Jesus, what are you doing? And Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, who do people say that I am? Let's answer the ultimate question. Who is our God? Who is the true, almighty, transcendent being that has all power? He said, tell me who I am. And they said, oh, this, that, and the other thing. And then we know good old Peter stood up and he said, you art the Christ. Thou art the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to Peter, Peter, you're just a little stone. If you look at the word he used, you are Petros, you are a little rock. But he said, Peter, upon this Petra, upon this great rock, upon this strong rock, upon this foundation of what you have just said, I am going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Brothers and sisters, when we stand on the truth of Jesus as Almighty God, as God manifest in flesh, as indwelling us through the Holy Spirit, you are standing on a worldview. You are standing on a rock that the enemy cannot defeat. And in the most wicked place that Jesus could think of, he took his disciples there and he said, what is going to stand? Nothing, no enemy, no false view, no spirit of evil, nothing that this world is looking for its answers in is going to stand against the church of the living God. Let's stand together this morning. Brothers and sisters, I encourage you, as I encourage myself, not knowing what tomorrow holds, but thankfully knowing who holds tomorrow. I encourage you, don't drop the shield. Those darts are flying. I almost feel like they're flying thicker and faster than at any time we've seen. Those fiery darts are just coming in. They're coming in from this angle and they're coming in from that angle. And the devil is trying and the enemy is trying every way he can to try and get us to adjust the way we do things. But you know what? We can disagree without being full of hate or animosity. When Jesus died on the cross, he embodied the greatest disapproval of our behavior, but he clothed it in loving sacrifice. We don't have to agree with everybody, but we do have to love them. And when we envelop our disagreement and our lack of tolerance, if you please, in a willingness to sacrifice even to the death to show our love or to show God's love, the world will see that truly there is only one God. Man has sought God and reached for him through works, through all the sacrifice. You look at any of the world religions, they're seeking for God. But there's one in history that doesn't make us seek for him in that way of earning his love. But he came and found us. That's the kind of shield that we hold up. That's the kind of belief system we're offering. The biggest difference between Christianity and every other world religion is that God didn't sit up there like some pontiff and say, come find me, come work, come to... No, he said, I'm going to leave my throne and I'm going to come down and I'm going to pay the price and I'm going to show my love. No, I don't agree with you, but I'm going to show it on Calvary. I'm going to show it through my love. And that's why, brothers and sisters, don't be afraid to hold up Christianity. Don't be afraid to hold up Jesus. Don't be afraid to hold up the Bible. That is our shield of faith. And people will see a God that loves them and that has the answers that they are looking for. Pastor Downs, thank you so much. Hallelujah. Let's lift our voices to God for just a moment. Hold up that shield. Hold up that shield. Hold up that shield.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Come on, let's just lift our hands right now. We've heard from God this morning, church. Come on, let's lift our hands and receive the word of God into our hearts. We can't afford a faith failure in this time, in this hour, in these last days. Hallelujah. Come on, church, just reach out to God right now. This is the most important time of the service. What are you going to do with the word of God today? What are you going to do with the words that God has spoken to us? Church, we have heard from God. You've got to get the shield of faith up again. Hallelujah. We are children of God. We are people of the name of Jesus. We are followers of Jesus Christ. And in these last days, don't let there be a failure of faith. Hallelujah. Parents, it's time to get your shield again. Husbands and wives, it's time to get your shield again. Maybe you've been distracted by your career or your study. I want to tell you, those things are important to some extent, but there's nothing more important than your faith. Hallelujah. When Jesus comes back, will He find faith on the earth? Will He find you with faith? Will He find you living faithfully? Will He find you living a life dedicated to Jesus and faithful to Him? Hallelujah. This altar is open if you want to come and pray. I know every single one of us ought to pray in this place. So maybe we just need to turn this whole sanctuary into an altar now. Why don't you find a time and a place to pray right now? If you want to kneel down, if you want to sit in your chair, if you want to come to this altar, but let's spend some time in the presence of the Lord. Let's spend some time seeking God that our faith will be strengthened. It's no time to allow your shield to drop. Come on, find a place to pray right now, whether you're kneeling at your seat or sitting down. Whatever it is, let's turn this place into a prayer room right now.